I got promoted. I got more money. I doubled what, you know, I thought would make me happy. That girl at UCLA that was thinking, if I made X, I would be so happy. And here I was 7 years later making double X miserable. We finally reached that point where no more money could mean happiness.
Welcome to Someone Like You, a podcast that highlights the experiences of women, immigrants, and people of color who are building empires, creating amazing things, and changing the world. Here, we celebrate underrepresented stories and unheard voices. Marjorie Yan is founder of wedding and special events company 329 Events and a realtor with Lashmet Group. After years in the corporate world at the height of the pandemic, she took the leap into full-time entrepreneurship. On this episode, we talk about navigating pressure as a first-generation American, finding success based on happiness, not money, and how all the wrong paths prepare you for the right one. Enjoy! So let's start with your childhood. What were you like as a kid?
Yeah, it's funny. So I grew up in Southern California, specifically in the South Bay, city of Carson, California. And, you know, I was raised in a two-parent household, both parents that were immigrants from Asia. I'm half Chinese and half Filipino. And growing up, you know, I'm the youngest of three. So I got to see, you know, my oldest sister's 8 years older than me. My brother is about 5 years older than me. And so growing up, I saw, you know, my parents, their parenting style. And, you know, in an Asian household in general, it's a lot, it can be very strict. It can be very intense. Growing up, you know, I've done a lot of self-reflection to see how I was raised impacts the person I am today and how I can consistently work on myself. But growing up, it was a very work hard so that you can have a good life. You know, it wasn't too focused on what is your dream? What do you want to do? What makes you happy? It was always work hard and keep your head down, get it done, find a job, go to school, stay in school. So it was very, I guess, cutthroat growing up, which is kind of funny, but also sad thinking about it. But I think a big part of it is acknowledging what experience I had growing up. And, you know, I grew up in a community, primarily minorities. You know, our schools weren't always the best quality schools. And throughout my childhood, you know, my dad was working full time. My mom stayed home to raise us, me, my brother, and my sister. So I was very fortunate to have that situation where, you know, my mom could be there for us. And it was, you know, I was always like on it. I was always the top student in school. I always wanted to do well. I think there was this vibe that was put out into the air as I watched my sister and brother, like, we do well, you know, we don't not do well.
Yeah. Did that feel like pressure for you, or was it just how we do things?
Growing up, it was how we do things, but looking back on it, you know, it definitely was like, wow, now I can see where, you know, where I thrive in my event planning and where I thrive in my organizational skills come from. And, you know, I can look it in the eye and say, you know, some of that is anxiety because of how much pressure was put on us to just always do well, never fall off, never complain. Sometimes that comes with not voicing your opinion, you know? So I think in looking at it as somebody who grew up in, you know, in a community that wasn't always flourishing and wasn't always great, like it was, looking back, it was a very eye-opening experience that, yeah, there was an immense amount of pressure. And I think that reality came to light when I, you know, I went to UCLA. So I you know, I went to a high school where our graduation rates weren't so high because of my upbringing, you know. I was able to get into a top university, my first choice university. And, you know, while there was a lot of excitement when I got there, there was an immense amount of culture shock. Mm-hmm. It was crazy to me. For, you know, just to be fully transparent, it's like there was probably one or two Caucasian people in my high school. The rest were African-American, Hispanic, Asian. So going to a university like UCLA was where it really started to, you know, make some things working in my brain start turning and thinking, wow, like that experience I had gone through, the experience I'm in now, like how am I going to use that to become the best that I possibly can while finding happiness? Knowing that, you know, there are things that happened to me growing up that are going to contribute to this kind of thing. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And at that time, knowing the expectations on you from your upbringing, but now seeing this kind of new world or different opportunities, did you have a sense of what that happiness would be or what you wanted to do with your life?
It's so funny you say that, because when somebody says, yeah, I went to UCLA, it's typically like something you like are very proud of. And don't get me wrong, I'm super proud to be a Bruin and to have graduated there. But because of where I grew up and where I came from, going to UCLA was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life, just from a educational institutional standpoint. I went to, you know, my high school was not the best high school. I was the top of my class in high school, but you know, going to UCLA, everyone's at the top of their class.
Yeah.
So I really felt like the pressure was tenfold. You know, I didn't graduate with the highest GPA. I barely made it. You know, it's like, it's that story of like when people are like, wow, you went to UCLA. It's like, yeah, it was actually the hardest thing I'd ever done. Many days where I thought I was going to have to like drop out or not be able to like complete it. But I think, you know, with the help and support of my older sister, who, you know, being 8 years older, she was able to give me really great advice on, you know, how to keep going, how to ask for help, how to find resources. And it really helped me, you know, power through. It was, you know, it was realizing I didn't have to do everything. I didn't have to like figure it all out on my own. So going through that experience was incredibly challenging, but also so fulfilling at the end, because even though, you know, growing up, I was always used to straight A's, and then I went to UCLA and graduated with a 2 point something to barely make it by. It was all worth it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's still a huge, huge, huge accomplishment. So after you had this huge accomplishment, you did it and maybe checked that box, if that's kind of how it felt for you. How did you feel? Were you free to pursue something you were interested in? Was it just like such a weight that you were kind of left reeling from it?
It's so funny you say that, because, you know, for your entire life, probably up until high school and for me, college, you know, there's these milestones that you hit. And as you mentioned, those boxes that you check. And as soon as, you know, you complete something like that and those milestones are, and now it's kind of like up to you. It's like, what do I do? Right. And so throughout my time at UCLA was where, you know, I needed to find something that got my mind off of not passing my classes. So I did join, you know, the Daily Bruin, the newspaper, where that's really, it really started becoming that place where I started exploring like, okay, what do I actually want to do after this? What job can I do? Do I have an interest? Like I really had no idea and no clue like what was going to make me happy. And, you know, while I was a student, I worked at the newspaper, which was probably one of the best and most fulfilling things I'd done. You know, I interned at magazines, I interned with sports teams. I really tried to intern as many places as possible. You know, I was an assistant to a financial advisor for a while and really finding like where my heart and passion was taking me. And it was a really like eye-opening experience once I graduated to see, you know, what I was interested in, which was like the media and entertainment and at that point journalism, it was a little shocking and that, you know, entry level would pay that little with like, you know, after getting your degree. And, and I think the thing that helped me, you know, was my upbringing. Was my dad was like, look, you just need to get a job. You need to just do it. It will, you know, like you will get there. You just have to figure it out. So, you know, after accomplishing something as great as, you know, graduating from UCLA, again, it came with, well, now what do I do? What do I enjoy doing? And so, you know, after interning at all those places and realizing, so I majored in economics, but like realizing, okay, yeah, finance is definitely not where I want to go. And then it was, okay, journalism, after working for a newspaper and being on the brink of understanding that digital was where everything was going, I didn't think I wanted to go down the newspaper route. So, you know, like at that point I graduated, it's been 6 months. I'm still interning with the Clippers, not making any money. And you know, thankfully through my network, I was able to secure an assistant role, at Clear Channel, currently iHeartRadio, as just an assistant, a sales assistant. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was literally like, I still don't know what I want to do. I know what I like doing. I love, you know, personally, I love going to concerts. I love music. I mm-hmm. love going to sporting events. I like creative things. But at this point in my life, like I have no money. I literally have all this debt. I live at home. I don't have as much confidence in this corporate America world because not a lot of people look like me. Sure. I got this job because, you know, my roommate in college had an aunt that worked here and I'm making close to minimum wage. And so, you know, at that point I literally had, all I did was I followed kind of what my dad had taught me all my life. It was keep your head down, you work hard, you do well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's how I kind of landed my first job in, I'd say, media and entertainment. And it was a crazy ride to get there.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And that's a lot to deal with mentally and emotionally. That's a lot of pressure on someone really young.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that strengthened you and built resilience, for lack of a better word, or did it just suck?
I definitely say it helped with resilience, and that was 7 years ago. And so it's funny, I came across this Oprah quote that says, like, do what you have to do until you can do what you want to do. And it was definitely very inspiring. You know, those 7 years were not easy. I just graduated college. I have this job that doesn't pay very much, but you know, the way I was raised was, I'm going to do a good job and I'm going to do it well. I'm going to see what this is like. This is my first full-time benefit job out of college. And so those 7 years were honestly like boot camp to the max. You know, I was afraid. I knew, you know, after interning what the event media entertainment industry was like. I'd watched people I'd know get, you know, turn into things that I knew I didn't want to turn into. Uh-huh. And so, you know, throughout those 7 years, it was doing my best while not losing sight of, one, where I came from, mm-hmm. Two, like my values as a person, and knowing that there was going to be a bigger picture that I just couldn't see yet. Yeah. And you know, 3 months into that job, I met my mentor. Her name was Samantha Fisher. And you know, when I first started, I was assisting three people and they were like, okay, we're going to add another person to you. And I was like terrified. I was like, okay, I must be doing a good job because they're going to add another person to me. Or are they doing this to me because I'm not doing a good job and they want to like overwhelm me and get rid of me? Mm-hmm. But it was honestly the best thing that had ever happened to me. And, you know, through that experience, I really learned what I loved. I learned what I hated. I figured out what made me happy. And it's still, you know, a learning experience. That was 7 years ago, and I reflect heavily on it. And, you know, she's still my mentor to this day, and I don't work there anymore. But through that experience was where I really learned so much about myself that I hope that anyone listening can find, you know, for themselves that, you know, what's important in life is understanding yourself and understanding what makes you happy and not doing things that, you know, overwhelm you and just keep doing them until you're burnt out, you know? So it definitely made me more resilient. It made me definitely stronger. It helped me build my confidence. It helped me become a leader, and it helped me really, really make that jump to understand, wow, this is what I have been working towards my entire life. And you know, when I grew up, there was always that thought of one day I'm going to own my own business, and one day, you know, I'm going to be successful, whatever that means to everybody. Mm-hmm. And, truthfully, I learned through this experience that even like a ton of money couldn't get you that. So I can pause there and we can transition to the next question, or I can keep going.
No, keep going. This is great. Okay. I love this. I love this thread. So yeah, tell me about that. That idea of, you know, what your happiness or fulfillment might be, and that it's not maybe the idea of success that you had growing up.
Yeah. So growing up, you know, I had this, you know, I knew what my parents' financials kind of were. I was very aware of those things. And I told myself while I was a student, if I could make as much as my dad makes, I would be so happy for the rest of my life. And, you know, in those 7 years, I worked my way up. I worked my butt off, and anybody you could ask that knew me at that company could say the same. I really, really care about anything I do and all the work I do, and maybe too much, which is one of my weaknesses, but I worked really hard and I got promoted. I got more money. I doubled what, you know, I thought would make me happy. That girl at UCLA that was thinking if I made X, I would be so happy. And here I was 7 years later making double X, miserable. And so I'll let that like sink in that, you know, I had a lot of conversations with my husband. It's like, we finally reached that point where no more money could mean happiness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I left that job because it was mentally tolling. It was entertainment. I was at a point in my life where I wanted to do something else that was more impactful. And I actually went into education for a startup because I wanted to apply my skills to something that was impactful. And so I stayed there for a year and I learned the same thing. It wasn't like education wasn't for me. I knew what I loved. I started missing what I was doing back at my old company. I knew that this year really forced me to stop. Like, I mean, it forced a lot of us to really just pause. And some of us had no choice, you know, to have to like just reevaluate, restructure. And I'm so grateful for everything I've had. And I think the biggest thing for me is I paused, my husband and I, you know, reevaluated everything. And this has been an incredibly tough year mentally, financially, but I think the silver lining that I've at least found is I've reached that point where I've as like going back to that Oprah quote is I've done what I had to do. Now it's time for me to do what I want to do. And
yeah. First of all, that's amazing.
And it's, yeah, I mean, it was really hard, you know, and a lot of people don't agree with what I did, but I left a really well-paying job, one that was so, like, I could have been comfortable. I could have sat there and you know, did it and been unhappy. And I literally jumped and risked, like, you know, I'm grateful I have my husband who, you know, can help us in that sense, but I've built my life to be able to take this leap of faith. And I launched my own company that, you know, is focused around events, wedding planning, everything combined that I'd ever enjoyed, over the last decade of doing, I did it. And it's, you know, it's crazy because I told my mom about it and I was nervous because they would think you're crazy. But, you know, I think it was, we're all at that point in our lives where she's been proud of me. I've done kind of what they've said. I've built what I've built so that I can do what I can do. And, you know, she was really excited and proud and it made me excited and proud. And so, you know, I'm really excited that this year, although, like, there's a lot of things I don't want to remember about it, this is something that I'm like so excited to do.
That is so incredible. I'm so happy for you. And that's just a perfect transition into talking about your business. I want to ask, you mentioned kind of finding some of those keys to your personal happiness or fulfillment or things you like or enjoy doing. What are some of those pieces that you found culminated in this event planning business?
Yeah. So a lot of those pieces came down to, so the way I'll describe it is, you know, a lot of my experience had been in sales. It had been in sales and marketing and getting people to buy either services or things. And through that experience, I learned I did not like selling things. I did not like convincing people that I was going to add value to their life or their business or anything, but couldn't produce that actual product or that actual result that they were seeking. And so what I learned was, and this is kind of a personal piece of it, is my husband and I were supposed to have our big wedding 2 weeks before the world shut down. And I kept saying, wow, I'm really shocked that I was able to move our entire wedding. And it happened, I had to move it twice. I was able to be calm about it and I'm actually not stressed about it. And through that, I was like, I want to like help people. I want to help other people going through this and anything else, you know, do it. And part of it also contributing to that is, as I was planning my wedding for the last 2 years, people would ask me, how's it going? And I'm like, I love it. And they're like, you're crazy. No one ever says they love planning their wedding. And I was like, no, this is my jam. Like, I love talking to florists. I love organizing my budgets and figuring out this vision. And, you know, it was through that crazy experience, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to help people. I want to provide a service where I genuinely enjoy doing this. And a couple of years ago, I helped my sister with her wedding and I've helped my cousin. I've been in many weddings. And it was applying my experience from iHeart of producing these crazy marketing activations for a lot of companies and brands. We, you know, it's the same managing details. And through that experience, I learned that, wow, I love organizing things. I love planning things. Through my dad and my mom and dad's extreme pressure, I thrive the best in really high stress situations because I feel like I can't drop things. But yeah, like I think going back to, you know, what I learned, like what I learned to get me here, it is really just taking like everything I love and using my skills to do good work for other people. And, you know, going back to the whole, like I've sold a lot of things. It's, you know, I want to sell this service to people, and I hate that word sell, but I want to provide that service to people. Mm-hmm. because I genuinely love it and I genuinely want to help them with this. And, you know, I've been so lucky that I have, you know, I'm at that stage in my life where I have a lot of friends that are either engaged or people that need help with their wedding planning or have no idea where to start with COVID and the changes. And because that one, I'd gone through it myself, and two, I've been really getting out there to meet people who are also going through this. It's been so fulfilling to know that I can provide that service to people and let them feel a lot more secure and a lot more comfortable and at ease, knowing that, you know, while there's so many unknowns in the world, there are a lot of knowns that we can control and know. So it was really like learning that while, yes, I can sell many different products, it's why do that when I can actually help people with something I really love?
I love that. And I think that's such a different thing than selling something that you may or may not believe in or that you don't actually get to deliver on and have this personal impact. So I just think that's so cool. Tell me why events, these experiences are so meaningful to us.
Yeah. You know, I've been, ever since I started my career at iHeart doing all those events, it creates these feelings that you think back on and don't forget. They're not tangible items that, you know, you're like, oh, I bought this purse and it brings me happiness. There's a different thing when it comes to events, whether it is a concert that you'll never forget, or it's your wedding day that it's once in a lifetime, or it's your like baby shower for your first child. Creating these events, it's very interesting to see the level of emotion that it can produce for people, knowing that, you know, it's something they've either been waiting for their entire life, or it's been something they've been planning on for the last month if they plan on going to a concert, or like they're going to meet their like favorite celebrity of all time, or their podcast host that they've been listening to. It just creates these memories that tangible items you purchase just don't provide. And as a planner myself, and I've had this is one of the reasons why I knew this was for me, that, you know, when I would plan events, they are planned sometimes 2 years out, or as little as a month out. And it's a lot of work to put on events. And there's this specific feeling that's hard to describe after an event and you feel proud of it. There's like a post-event high that I get, which
the afterglow is what I like to call it.
Yes. And it's really something that I've never experienced in any other either job or project I've done. It's that feeling knowing that you've delivered what you said you would. The people who have trusted you to do it are extremely happy with what you've done, and you are part of such an incredible and incredibly important event in their life. So that's probably why I'd say like getting into events definitely is one of those feelings. And one thing I'll add is, you know, the other thing I love doing, and I do it more part-time, is I do real estate with my husband. And the reason why I bring that up isn't to just plug it. It's that same feeling, and helping somebody find their home, helping them, you know, find what would make them so happy, like the biggest purchase they'll make in their life. And the reason why I do both is it provides that same feeling of knowing I'm not just selling someone something, I'm providing them with something that's going to change their life in a positive way.
That is so cool, because I saw that you are also involved in real estate with your husband, and I didn't make that connection, but it absolutely makes sense. That's so clear. It's these huge milestones in your life that are meaningful for years and years and years to come.
Yeah, completely.
So tell me about your approach to creating a really amazing, memorable experience.
Yeah. So I'll focus on weddings just because it's kind of what I've been specializing in most recently, just due to the nature of events in general, which sure. people, it's so funny. It's like, you launched an event company during COVID. It's like, I did. I did, but I've done crazier things. But my approach really is to, you know, get to know that client. You know, when I talk to them for the first time, I'm going into the conversation with, you know, a couple goals. One is, are we a good fit? Is this gonna make sense for us, like, on both ends? Like, I try to understand what their personalities are, what their style is, make sure, you know, we would both feel comfortable. That's one goal. But the bigger goal that I really focus on when I first meet a client is, what do they want? What is most important to them on their wedding day? What is their biggest fear? It's really digging deep to understand, why are they throwing this party? You know, like, are they doing it because their parents wanted them to do it? Mm-hmm. Or is it something that they've dreamed about their entire life? Because once I understand that, it really becomes easier to understand how we will work together, and how I can best help them. You know, it's like, are they very hands-on? Like, are they like me, where they just need that person on site to make sure everything runs smoothly? Or do they have zero idea where to start? So my approach really is to understand the person, the couple that I'm working with, to make sure that I can relay back the services that can provide the most value to them. And it really is about figuring out, like, why are they doing this? What makes them happy? And 9 times out of 10, most of the time, they're contacting me because they want to make sure that they can enjoy and be in their own moment and not have to worry about details. And I'm like, perfect. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why I'm here. But yeah, it's real. My approach is to really understand them, figure out, you know, once I can tell them, this is how I can provide value on your big day or your special events. You know, whether it's fully planning it from start to finish, finding all their vendors, sourcing venues, like, I love doing that. Or if it's literally like, okay, we'll agree that I can facilitate a lot of the on-site stuff. I'll talk to you 6 months out. I'll talk to you 3 months out just to see where you are. Or if it's just me showing up that day to make sure everything, you know, is carried out flawlessly, it's my approach is to identify where I can provide value and show them why many people trust me to do it for them.
That's awesome. And I think that's so valuable as you're going through this experience and planning something that is so meaningful, to have that support to make you feel in control and like you can really relax and enjoy it.
Yeah.
So you have this really great sense of aesthetics and design that's so important for creating beautiful events. Have you always had that? Does it come naturally to you?
It's funny because, again, this goes back to my 7-year boot camp at iHeartRadio, where my job was to help companies create these marketing campaigns that would help grow their business. And through hundreds and thousands of campaigns and events and going through different brand guidelines and you know, it's funny, as a teenager, I was always messing with Photoshop and creating my funny blog posts online. It was something that I think I learned, one, because I had a kind of an interest in it, of like web design and cute things. And two, it was after, you know, going through 7 years of many different brands, understanding what made them successful, understanding how they market to their consumers, understanding consumer behaviors. And thank you for the compliment. You know, I really try to tap into a lot of things that I've learned in my experience as an employee and really translate that into my own business. So it really was many years of working with influencers, writing social posts. I joke with one of my best friends who I used to work with. She's like, do you want to go to lunch? I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm writing a tweet for a dog, like a famous dog. So, Yeah, it really is due to the experience I've had.
That's awesome. Well, you definitely have a talent for it, which really benefits all of your clients. So tell me, what would be your dream event to plan?
So this is kind of nerdy, but like, I love the Jonas Brothers. Like
and that's so great.
They're all married, but I would love to plan one of their weddings just because I'm actually not afraid of like nothing freaks me out. Like that's the other thing through my experience, no budgets, no big celebrity, no big name could freak me out. But my dream wedding would be like one that doesn't have a budget, not because of my own like self-gain, but because like I would have a blast.
Oh, right.
Like going crazy.
The limit.
Like, yes. Like when I saw Nick and Priyanka's wedding and like all of their weddings, I was like, oh, I would love to have been the planner there. But it would, and I guess it doesn't really have to be the Jonas Brothers, but like just any big wedding would be like a dream just to do. And I say that starting out, and I'm determined to figure out how to make that happen. I think again, like I keep going back to that experience, but I was able to build a pretty good network, you know? So
I
have it I have it out in the universe. It's in the cards somewhere.
Yes.
I'm working towards it.
Taking that into existence. I love it.
Yes.
So you've mentioned a few kind of threads that you can see going back to your childhood, like, or your youth or, you know, upbringing around being interested in websites or being a planner naturally. Now that you have found this kind of calling for yourself, do you see those threads when you look back of what led you here or the inclinations you had as a kid?
Yes, 1,000%. You know, I think because growing up, I was always like, I'm always like 10 steps ahead. I'm like, what is my job going to be? Where am I going to be? What am I going to do? Like there was many times, and I still do it today. And my husband makes fun of me because I will notice something that I'm good at. And then I'll make a joke like, I should just be this. I should just do that like, because I know I'm good at it. And so, you know, when it comes to making like the different threads I've mentioned or like making my own blogs and like being able to like learn basic coding, I definitely see it now. Like I built my own website and it was that seventh grade Marjorie who was making that background for Zanga, like who was able to like figure out with the help of WordPress, like where to put this code and make sure not to miss a bracket. You know, my parents made that joke with me as a kid that I should be a software engineer. And I'm like, well, I would never be able to hang at like UCLA's computer science made with those people. But yeah, definitely there, you know, with my experience of like, I naturally always played with Photoshop as a kid. Sounds crazy. But now I know, you know, growing up, I did that. So when I got into the workplace and I'm the go-to, like, can you delete this background off of this image for me? Sure. And so, you know, it really helped with, you know, at my job where it wasn't just the skills acquiring, but it helped me stay young and stay relevant with like what was coming and what was new. Like with podcasts, you know, we knew they were coming and I debated, I was like, well, should I become a podcaster? But there's so many skills that I hope, you know, anybody listening like understands that while you don't realize it in the moment, there's so many skills we acquire as humans that are like transferable and relatable to anything that we'd ever want to do that makes us happy. And I think that's where I got to, where I understood, okay, I'm going to take my childhood skills of like basic coding and I'm going to take the rigorous training that UCLA made me, the resilience that I gained from UCLA to know that even when you're at rock bottom, it can still be okay. And then I'll take the crazy amounts of pressure that at iHeart I had to produce these events and organize these crazy campaigns and understand brand styles and understand branding and marketing. And then I'll take like my job at this university I worked at and understanding contracts and apply that here. And so, you know, all those things really contribute to the success of what I'm doing today. And it was something that I did notice as I was building everything, as I was creating my contracts, as I was setting up my invoicing, as I was creating my logo, or the way that I interact with people on social media, I knew is what would contribute to the success of launching this.
I love the way you put that, because that's exactly how I see it. I feel like throughout your life, you're a collector of skills or interests or experiences. And then if you're very fortunate, those things all come together and make sense and, you know, become pieces of this puzzle for the thing you're meant to do.
Yeah.
So that is so cool.
And I think the thing I'll add is, like, even though, you know, I'm pretty aware of a lot of that, and through this, it might sound like, oh my God, she has it all figured out. She knows what she's doing. She, like, had that experience. She went to a great university. Like, I just want to call out, like nobody has it figured out. Like, no one has it fully figured out. Like, I've been grateful to have had a very great support system to help me keep going. But, like, for anyone who is thinking of doing this, or anyone who doesn't know what they want to do or has no idea, like, I would just say, keep going. And it will, like, I'm trying to remember my, Sam told me, it's like, oh, she likes to say, more to be revealed, right? It's like,
oh, I love that.
She always would tell me that, you know, when I'd negotiate with her on, like, either a raise, or I'd negotiate with her, like, and in my own nature, I want to know every step of the way. But it's like, and all of us, everyone, like, wants to know as much as possible and hates the unknown, and change is scary. And I'm saying this as, like, giving advice, but I should also take my own advice. Yeah. because it is a roller coaster. It is a roller coaster.
So I'm totally the same way by nature. So, how has it been since you have launched? For me, this is my first year in business, and first year full time in business. And mm-hmm. it's been, I'm out of my comfort zone every single day. Mm-hmm. Has that been the feeling for you?
Completely. I think, you know, I just decided a couple of months ago that this was going to be my full time. I do wedding planning full time, and I do real estate part time. And for my entire life, I had been working full time, and, you know, I did this and on the side. And so, you know, to answer the question in short, it's been incredibly amazing as far as, like, the support. It's definitely a roller coaster every day. Yeah. And I 1000% am outside of my comfort zone. I think making that decision to leave my full-time job, and I hate saying that, because I know I want to be cognizant of where we are in the world, where lots of people are losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to sound like, you know, I didn't really know what I had. But at the same time, like, being extremely outside of your comfort zone is honestly the biggest way I've been growing. My mind is being utilized in ways that I never was able to use it, because I was split brain. I was like, let me do this full-time job. Okay, let me do this. Oh, I'm, like, exhausted, you know? So it's very uncomfortable, because there are a lot of unknowns. But it is very exciting at the same time. And when you know, when you have that feeling, like, you're scared, but you're also so excited, I think that's kind of an indicator of you're on the right path. If you're so excited and you can't stop thinking about it and you love it, like, that is an indicator, like, don't stop, like, double down.
Yes. I love that advice. Okay. So when you're dealing with all of this discomfort and growth and all of this new stuff, how do you stay inspired?
Yeah. It's interesting, because something that I battle with is imposter syndrome. I battle with competition, like, looking at everybody who is successful doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm just calling out all the things that I go through every day. And then I can talk about, like, how I work through it. I battle with the fear of, like, instability and insecurity financially, because I've always been stable. Mm-hmm. And so I also battle with like, am I going to make it? You know, you wonder all those things. And I really think it's important to acknowledge that those concerns and fears are there. And I think the way I work through it is remember why I'm doing it. Remember that like you were making all this money and you were miserable. Remember that you're doing this because you actually want to help people. And the other part of it is like, I get fuel. I've learned to be fueled by competitors to either, you know, network with them, learn from them. Mm-hmm. It's like it's as humans, we're naturally competitive to, you know, we see somebody doing what we're doing and we're like, we might have that natural feeling like, ugh, you know, like, no, I need to be better. But like, I've learned, no, like we can exist in the same space. We can actually learn from each other and grow from each other. So it's shifting some of those fears and concerns to finding how you can use it to empower you. Like with that mindset shift, I've had really amazing results from it. You know, like I met a florist who does the same thing I do with planning, and she actually brought me out on a couple of events and I was able to network and expand it, you know? So it's finding the positivity in some of the stuff that freaks you out. And then, you know, with like the imposter syndrome and the fear, it's one of those things where I literally just have to like look fear in the face and it's like, we're just going to do this. And some of that you have to like just have.
Yep. Thank you for mentioning all of that, because that is so real around the experience of being an entrepreneur. And there are wonderful things about it, but it is really hard, and it is really hard mentally. So thank you for being transparent about all of that stuff that we have to navigate.
Yeah.
So I like to finish up every interview with a little lightning round. Okay. So I want you to answer just the first thing that comes to your head.
Okay.
All right. What scares you?
Unknown. Like not knowing things. Mm-hmm.
What are you most proud of?
Getting to this point. I think what I've learned through doing this is you have to celebrate your small wins. You can't just think about being the biggest wedding planner or the biggest podcaster. You have to celebrate, okay, so I've reached this goal after this day. So I think I've become most proud of like celebrating small wins that I know will lead to bigger ones.
Yes. When are you at your best?
At events, it's like, it's funny. It's like, it's go time. There's no room to like not be at your best. but it really is like at events, I thrive under like, we have a timeline. We need to make XYZ happen. But you know, anytime I'm with clients, I'm very present. I'm there. I'm in a zone.
That's awesome. How do you define success?
I think so for myself, defining success is, being comfortable in what I'm doing and what I've launched so that those fears, those insecurities, those uncomforts are kind of like still there, that'll keep me going, but not as big of a in your face as they are now is how I would define success. It's knowing that there is a level of, yes, like this is how I'd envisioned it. And then for my clients, like, and with the, you know, with the actual business, it's knowing that I did everything I could to make it exactly what they'd ever dreamed of or more.
Hmm. Those are both great answers. And last question, how do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as the person who cared, who like actually cared about the service they provided to ensure it was meeting someone's need. I want to be remembered as like the girl who not never took no as for an answer, but as the girl who did her best to make sure that she did all she could, to make it happen.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to do this and for sharing your story. I feel like on so many levels, we're the same person. I was hearing you talk about these things and like, oh yeah, that's relatable. That's relatable. which, you know, it's even cool for me to be like, all right, I'm not alone. You're going through this too, or you had this challenge and there's this light at the end of the tunnel where it all comes together. So
yeah,
I personally appreciate it. And I know other people will too.
Of course. And I think it's important to talk about these things because it's the things that nobody talks about. When you see very big brands and successful businesses, it's like, you see how big they are and how successful they are, but like nobody likes to talk about what keeps us up at night to make sure
how hard it was.
Yes, exactly. And honestly, like if you're friends with Priya, like we're all kind of the same.
Yeah, that's a good point. Exactly.
I hope you are as inspired by Marjorie's story as I was. I love how she is so open and honest about the challenges she's faced throughout her career and today as she's growing her business. We could all use a little more real talk about that. You can learn more about Marjorie at 329events or 329events.com. Thanks for listening. As always, I'm your host, Liz Marie, brand strategist helping women and BIPOC entrepreneurs overcome chaos and level up your brand, so you can shatter glass ceilings and build generational wealth. You can connect with me on Instagram at Liz Marie Strategy or visit LizMarieStrategy.com for more resources, stories, and tips for creatives and entrepreneurs, or to nominate someone to be featured on the show. Until next time, stay badass.